So on the first day of school this last year, I was trying to, you know, tell my students the rules and whatever. Anyways, and I said to my class, I was talking about turning in late work. I was like, hey, I don't care if your house burns down. I don't accept late work. Like, just kidding. And I said that, and all these kids start looking at this one girl. I'm like, no way. She's like, yeah, my house burned down last night. I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm so sorry. But yeah, I know. She had a good sense of humor about it. It's kind of funny. Not the house burning down, but the whole episode was funny. But anyways, I want you to imagine, please, hopefully only imagine, not remember, that your garage is on fire. So I want you to imagine you come home and your garage is on fire. And you're like, oh my goodness, I'm calling 911. So you call 911 and the firefighters show up and they say, we're gonna battle this fire. And you're like, oh man, they might save my house. So they jump out and your garage is on fire and the firefighters whip out a bunch of M16s and guns and start blasting away at your garage with rifles. Your response would be like, I don't think you guys understand the nature of this battle. I think you're using the wrong weapon for what is going on right now. You would think it's as absurd as showing up to war with the fire extinguisher. You'd be like, I don't think we understand what's really happening. And as absurd as that is, that's what we do. We don't understand. Oftentimes, we forget the nature of the battle that we are in all the way until we die or Christ returns. It's a battle. And sometimes we're showing up not understanding the nature of what this battle is and who we are fighting and who the enemy is and who the enemy is not. And so before we dive into the Word of God, let's pray, and then we'll take a look at what God's Word will teach us this morning. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your goodness and your grace. Lord, as we just sang, to open the eyes of our heart that you would be high and lifted up. Lord, I pray this morning that when this morning is done and we all go home, Lord, that we would be impressed with you, that we would be in awe of you and your power and your love and your care and your wisdom, Lord. I pray that anything I say or do would not interfere with your work and your word. But Lord, this would be your time, and that you would make us humble and contrite to listen to your word. And we ask these things in your name. Amen. Amen. We are in Ephesians 6, 10 to 13. And so we're going to read the passage, and then we're going to kind of review a little bit, and then we'll dive in. So I ask, please, out of respect for God's word, if you would stand briefly while we read, if you can, while we read the passage this morning. It says this, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Thank you. You may have a seat. If you, in review, were to like consider what Ephesians, what God has taught us through the book of Ephesians in the past couple of months, if you were just to review it and like make a bullet point list of everything we are commanded and taught in chapters really 4, 5, and the beginning of 6, it's quite a lot. And I'll go over just some of it as point of review, but there's a point, and we want to look at why he says finally here. But we were taught going back to the beginning of 4, 5, and 6 to grow and be spiritually mature, to grow into manhood as a Christian, so to speak, secure, consistent in our faith, and the Bible said not tossed around by every mood or desire, but living a life anchored in God. We want to be able to discern what is pleasing to God, especially in those areas where maybe Scripture is not overtly clear on something. God still gives us the ability as we mature to discern what is pleasing to God. We were commanded to be honest in everything, all that we say and do, so our yes is yes, our no is no. We were commanded to get rid of even a hint, even any idea or glimpse of impurity or coarse talk. We were commanded that the words we speak are not to be silly or foolish, but are to be honoring to God, encouraging, edifying each other. We were taught to submit to one another, to give up our rights, to defer to each other, and be focused, and our priority is what is best and edifying for others. Wives were commanded to give up their rights, submitting to their husbands, especially when it's hard, especially when he's difficult, and you really know what you want. Husbands, we were commanded to love our wives, and the bar, the standard, is to give up everything we desire, everything we want, every decision, everything, every plan, every schedule, is to build up our wives, sanctify them, do what is best for them spiritually, and put them first. Children were commanded to obey their parents, even and especially when it doesn't make sense, simply because it's right. Parents were commanded to raise their children carefully and purposefully in the same way that God trains and disciplines and cares for us, not provoking them to anger, but teaching them the truth of God's word and character. Last week, we saw bondservants, slaves, are to honor and glorify God even though their circumstances are hard. A quote from Daniel's sermon last week that I really thought hit hard was this: God does not need to change our circumstances in order for us to honor and glorify him. God does not need to change our circumstances in order for us to be holy because he is holy. And then we finish with employees working hard and honoring God even when your boss isn't looking, even when your boss is unkind and rules by fear. And bosses, the well-being of your employees is a priority. Care for them, remembering that God is your master. When I look at that list, and I was just this week considering all of that, what I felt like is I felt like I walked into a big house that was owned by a massive hoarder, just full of everything, wall-to-wall stuff, and someone said, hey, clean that up and organize it. Get it squared away. And it's just so, I feel like, can I solve it with a match and a can of gas? That is just so overwhelming. I don't know what to do. When I look at what God has commanded and taught in Ephesians, I just go, Lord, how? How do we do that? And that is why. If you're not overwhelmed, either you're not paying attention or you need to come up here and stand at this podium instead of me. It is overwhelming. And that's why this passage says, finally, don't forget this. Like if you've ever put something complex together or done some directions that are really hard, sometimes you read directions and there's like, whatever you do, don't skip step 15. If you do 1 through 14 and then you skip step 15, it's going to destroy everything you did on step 1 through 14. Don't forget this step or everything else is for nothing. That's kind of what this is. All of that difficulty, all of the most difficult relationships we're in, God's word is saying, understand this. Don't miss this truth or it will result in frustration, discouragement, reverting back to legalism and obligation instead of knowing and serving God, growing into maturity out of love and gratitude for who God is and what he has already accomplished in us and through us. So, with all of that in mind, here we go, and we're going to start in the middle. It says four, so we're going to get to 11 and then the kind of the verses around verse 12, but we're going to start with verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. That word wrestle is to struggle or fight. So this is not a friendly wrestling match between two competitors where one wins, one loses, and they shake hands after the match. This is a battle to the death. This is a struggle, a fight, a battle, not a friendly competition. So the first lesson, the first point we want to learn from this passage is this. As a Christian, life is a battle. No getting around it. We are getting attacked. We're not going into battle. The battle is coming to us. We are getting attacked. So our choice is really quite straightforward. Scripturally, our choice is battle and resist or concede, forfeit, and surrender. Those are the two choices. We often use the analogy, we're in a river. Either we're swimming upstream or we're floating downstream. There's no just staying still. And that's, we're in a battle whether we like it or not. And I think all of us, I know I would say, oh yeah, I get that. I understand that. But we so often understand it in our brains, but we don't necessarily get it in our hearts. So our choice is not, I think I'll go into battle today and tomorrow I will rest. Nope, the battle is coming to us. And the beauty is, does God sometimes provide rest from that battle? That's Psalm 23. He makes me lay down beside quiet waters. He gives us that. But God determines that. He provides it. I don't stay home, go to battle, come back on my schedule. It's as we're led by God. So understand this. Sometimes in life, think of life as a road. Sometimes as we're driving down this road in life, we hit a pothole. And our thought is, whoa, what was that? Because we think that that is the Christian life. A perfectly straight, smooth road with a great destination at the end, not a lot of turns, no potholes, and that's kind of what we expect. But actually, come on now, that's the Christian life. No, that is not a road in Susanville. That's the Christian life. So when we hit a pothole, we're not thinking, why didn't I avoid that? What happened? What's the pot? No, the road's full of potholes. That's just the road. That's how it is. And so don't expect this. Sometimes God gives us that, but that is our Christian life. It's going to be hard. It's going to be a battle. So whether we choose it or not, understand it's a battle. So what does this battle look like? Well, the mental, emotional, physical aspects of our lives are real and important, and they play a huge part in our Christian walk. It takes great physical effort and sacrifice to follow and obey God. We're commanded, encouraged to have an attitude of gratefulness and hope. We worship God with our emotions. We love God and each other with affection. So those things are real and part of the battle. They're things. It's true. However, the objective of the battle is not our physical life or our emotional life. That is not the objective or target of the battle. It is not our financial security, is not the objective of the battle. Our lives, our house, my mental attitude, my physical health, getting what I desire, that is not the target of the enemy. The objective of this battle is our heart and souls. That's the objective. That's what the enemy is after. They're not designed. The enemy does not want to attack me and take away my house. Spiritual forces out there don't want to attack me and take away our health, our happiness, our security, or any other worldly things. We're familiar with the story of Job. The enemy did that exact thing. But what was the purpose? What was the objective? When Satan went to God and said, I want to go after Job, and God said, you got the green light. The objective of the enemy was not, and I'm going to make his life miserable. Nope. It's good. I'm going to get him to curse God. That was the goal of the enemy. Our hearts and our soul is the objective of the enemy. The goal of this fallen world is to destroy our hearts and take us to eternal destruction with the enemy. Whether it be hardship or often getting what we want, I can assure you that the enemy, Satan, would love to make me incredibly, like, uber super rich. He would love to do that. Because that would distract me from God. That would give me security and finances instead of faith in God. So giving us what we want is often the battle. Sometimes the battle is the smooth road, not the pothole. So understand this. The battle is not that someone lost their job. The battle is, will they grow in their faith, trust and worship God, even in the midst of uncertainty? The battle is not that someone's health is declining. The battle is, will they become bitter, frustrated, and turn from God because their health is deteriorating, or will they grow in their faith and trust in God's sovereignty and their eternal salvation? The battle is not that someone is truly feeling depressed and struggling with mental health. The battle is, will they turn to God, trust God, seek God in the midst of it, and avoid sinning while continuing to love others? The battle is not that someone's marriage is a struggle and a disappointment. The battle is, will they turn to God? Will they stop seeking from their spouse what they can only gain from Christ? And will they turn and honor God in the midst of a disappointing marriage? The battle is not feeling uncertain and unclear about our role in life, our jobs, our future spouse, and what we're going to do. The battle is, will our faith grow and flourish because of the uncertainty as we faithfully trust and obey God? So let us have our eyes opened to the nature of the battle and the identity of the attacker. I want to give a very practical application that helps a lot. If you, and we'll, because it's listed in Ephesians, and it can often be a difficult one if you're married, and you and your spouse are just butting heads and you can't get along, the enemy is not your spouse. Your spouse is your fellow soldier. You're side by side fighting this battle together. The enemy is attacking your marriage in order to weaken your faith. Your spouse is not the enemy. If your boss is mean to you at work, the boss is not the enemy. The enemy is trying to get you to disobey God and stop honoring God towards your boss. Your boss may be a fellow soldier. So understand as we go through this who the enemy is and what the battle is. And understand that the enemy is 100% evil. The enemy has no compassion. And the enemy takes great joy in destroying us. And the enemy is attacking our faith through the hardship or through our successes. And the enemy will celebrate in our weakened spiritual state and our lack of faith. Understand the battle. Next, understand that it's a spiritual battle and we are not naturally equipped to fight it. I do not have it within me naturally. You do not have it within you to fight this battle. Verse 11 starts with, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. What does that mean? That's one of those phrases we might say, be strong in the Lord. Yeah, right. What does it mean? I'm not sure. What does it mean to be strong in the Lord? God is not simply the source of our power. God is not the source of our ability to fight this battle and resist the enemy. He is the power. I want to say that again. God is not the source of our ability to fight this battle. He is the power to fight this battle. Romans 8:11. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Ephesians 1 that we read a while ago. The immeasurable greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His great might that He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And He put all things under His feet and gave Him as head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. The same power, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you and I. I just want us to understand that. The same power, the same God, that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you and I. The same power that when Jesus died, tore the temple curtain in two, caused a great earthquake, tombs were split open, the righteous who were dead rose from the dead and walked amongst everyone else, caused the earth to be dark when Christ died on the cross. The same God who parted the Red Sea for the Israelites. The same God who flooded the earth yet saved Noah. The same God who spoke all of creation and all of its immense beauty and complexity, simply spoke it into existence. The same God who holds all of creation together. The same God that puts kingdom and empires in place, like ours, but can take them away in a minute if He wants, because He is sovereign over all. The same God who holds the keys of death and Hades, the Bible says. God who is life and has power over death, who loves you and I with great joy and affection, the same God who paid the eternal penalty for all of my transgressions and somehow took this wretched sinner and made me righteous and holy before God, in the person of the Holy Spirit dwells in us, equips us, strengthens us, guides us, protects us in this great and eternal battle for our souls. The same. So why? Why, oh why, do we so often try to win this battle apart from the strength, power, and might of God? Why am I so determined, and probably you sometimes, to win this battle independent of God? Why do we so often trust our own understanding, our own wisdom, our own reasoning, and try to fight this battle independent of God Almighty? Why do we deceive ourselves into believing that we are naturally equipped apart from God to fight this battle, and we only need to call for help when we think we are losing? God is not an insurance policy in case we begin to lose. I had two older brothers. The middle one loved to fight, and when I was in grammar school, anytime someone was picking on me, and I'm like, uh-oh, I don't think I can handle this. I just called my brother, and he handled it. Not in a good way. That's not God. We don't fight the battle, and we're like, uh-oh, I don't think I can handle this one. I better call my big brother. He'll come in and take care of it. That's not how it works. God is the only power we have in this battle, and God has already fought and won the battle on our behalf. And in the coming verses, we'll see that winning the battle is not our task. God does not command us, ask us, or encourage us to win the battle, because He did that. We are to stand firm and resist in the power of God through faith, obedience, and trust. The rest of 11 and then 13. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Verse 13, therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Take up, be equipped with the entire, complete, and perfect armor of God, as opposed to my own abilities, my own reasoning, my own wisdom, and my own strength. Very familiar passage, Proverbs 3, 5 through 8, I will read. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. So the question for us this morning, for each and every one of us, is this. Does my life, my habits, do my decisions reflect trust in God's power and wisdom, or in my own understanding of how things ought to be? Do my decisions, my habits, my priorities, do they reflect trust in God's power and wisdom, or my own understanding of how things ought to be? It's a spiritual battle, but our physical, mental, and emotional lives are neck deep in the battle. It's a spiritual battle that requires mental gratitude and hope. It's a spiritual battle that requires great sacrifice and obedience. Trusting in the Lord, not leaning on our own understanding, putting on the armor of God is not just theoretical, it's real. It requires obedience, sacrifice, love, consideration, hope, gratitude, seeking God, turning to God, drawing near to God, working hard to apply Scripture. But the primary goal this morning from this passage is to hammer into our heads and hearts to constantly remind us that the nature of the war is spiritual. The objective of the enemy is the destruction of our heart and souls. And God has already won. And He is our strength, our power, our eternally sovereign and all-powerful advocate, Father, and brother who dwells in us. When we have faith and trust in the character, love, and care of God, when we are strong in the Lord and His might, this is what is so wonderful about God. When we have faith, these same potholes, these same battles are used by God to train us and grow us into maturity and open our eyes to His goodness. The Bible says, endure hardship as discipline, it says in Hebrews. But when we lack faith, when we try to fight the spiritual battle with only our own physical, mental, or emotional strength, or when we choose to fight the battle, how this world fights. I would examine our lives at some point and say, does the way I fight this battle, how is it different than the way a non-Christian is fighting the same battle? If the answer is it's really not that different, then what am I doing? Where's God in this? The very same struggle that when we approach it in faith and trust of God that would build us up, that very same struggle could destroy our faith. So as we close, please remember, the God of the universe, who has infinite and absolute power over all kingdoms, creation, history, and even time, who holds the universe in his hands and defeated death, who makes us righteous and holy and perfect so that we can approach him and live as his child. He is our power and strength to resist, to stand firm, to thrive and flourish and grow and rejoice and be used to great effect for his eternal glory, if we will battle, if we will stand firm, if we will resist and not surrender to the enemy and a ho-hum, mediocre, just getting by, limping through life. Brothers and sisters, know who the enemy is, know who it is not, know the nature of the battle, and know that our God who loves us already is our victory, and he is our power to fight the battle through this life. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you are so good and so gracious. Lord, forgive us, please, for turning from you in hardships and struggles and frustration. Lord, we thank you for your patience and your mercy and your kindness. Lord, we thank you for the example of the shepherd who leaves the 99 to go track down the one who left, and that you love us that much. Lord, thank you that you will hold us in your arms and protect us and keep us. Lord, we thank you that you have already won the battle. And Lord, that you dwell in us the fullness of God. Lord, I pray that you would convict us, open our eyes to areas where we are fighting the battle on our terms with our strength. And please, Lord, give us more and more faith in you. We thank you and we ask these things in your name. Amen.